Our scripture lesson this morning comes from the book of John, chapter 20, verses 1, 11 through 18, or 11 through 16 and 18. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We sang a hymn in the garden. It is a beautiful hymn and one of my favorite ones. And we often sing this hymn at a funeral, but it tells us about Easter. Austin Miles wrote this hymn lyrics according to the Gospel of John, his account of the Easter story. And he wanted to capture Mary's experience, Mary Magdalene. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they say Mary goes with other women, but John's Gospel says she goes alone to the garden. And Matthew, Mark, and Luke don't mention about the garden, but John, the Gospel of John says Jesus was buried in a garden. When she gets there, she sees the stone has been rolled away, and the body of Jesus Christ is gone. And she is grieving because she thought somebody had stolen the body of Jesus. And at the moment, Jesus speaks. And she realized it is him. It is him. During the Lenten season, we have been talking about the people around the cross. And today we are going to talk about Mary. Mary Magdalene. And we will see what Easter means through the lens, through the eyes of Mary Magdalene, and what it tells us about our experience. So Mary Magdalene, she was one of many women who followed Jesus, and there were so many women who were drawn to Jesus and followed him. And we don't have many writing about women around Jesus, but they followed him all the time. And I told you one time, if the Bible were written in the 21st century, we would have so many female disciples of Jesus. They were not written in the Bible, but they were doing critical roles in Jesus' ministry. And we may find who Mary Magdalene in the Bible, who she was. First of all, Mary, we can resonate, Mary didn't have many memories of her earthly father. Either her father died early, or perhaps her mother was not married. Mary was not married to anybody, and she didn't have a child, at least a boy. Then how do we know that? In the first century, Israel was a very patriarchal society where women were always known in their relationship to a man. So there was lots of Marys. Mary was one of the popular names in the first century, and most of them were called by their relationship to somebody, such as Mary, mother of Jesus. Yes, she is the mother of Jesus. And later, after the cross, she was called the mother of James. And we have another Mary, the wife of Clopas. But Mary Magdalene was never mentioned or described that way. She was simply Mary Magdalene. And her title or surname style, Magdalene, comes from name of the town, Magdala, which was located on the northwest shore of the Sea of Galilee. So Mary Magdalene means Mary from Magdala. That's it. And she had no significant relationship with any male figure. So there are many possible stories in the gospel which might describe who she is. In Luke chapter 8, she was a woman who had been plagued by 7 demons. So Jesus cast them out of her. Then what are they? What were the demons? So in the first century, a demon could be a spiritual entity, but often there were also undiagnosed illness. If there is something you couldn't explain in any way, it was a demon. That was 2,000 years ago. And it might have been epilepsy or fever of any kind. Or it could have been an addiction. Something that Mary seems to have very little or no control. So maybe it was an addiction. We may also think of mental illness. Some scholars say Mary was a prostitute. We don't have the name. There was a woman, prostitute, in Luke chapter 7. We don't find the name. So some scholars said it was Mary. It might be, but we don't have that strong evidence for that. But I don't think I would be surprised that for the woman who had no father, no husband, or no child who took care of her in Jesus' time, there were not many options to carry on her life. So here is what we know about her. And we know Jesus had a special concern for the marginalized and prostitute. No one wants to be poor. No one wants to be sick. No woman wanted to be a prostitute. So when Jesus saw the woman who was a prostitute, he showed mercy on them and had compassion for them. And he treated them with dignity. So many of them, they left prostitution and followed Jesus because Jesus treated them with respect. And they found life in Christ. And Jesus said, amen. I love him. So it is possible Mary Magdalene was a prostitute in a previous life. No problem with that. Mary might have some feeling for Jesus. Then what kind of feeling was that? We don't know exactly what that was, but indeed, it was a strong affection, love, and deep admiration for the person who set her free from the things that inflicted her and enslaved her for years and years. Indeed, Jesus was the only male figure who treated her as a human being with dignity. And he made her feel special and loved by God. Then how could she not have some kind of feeling for him? So Mary has been following Jesus all the time, every single places. She was traveling with Jesus in his ministry, and she was there with the people waving palm branches when Jesus entered Jerusalem. She was there with Jesus when he cleaned the merchant who was selling all kinds of lamb and pigeons and changing monies at the temple. And she was there when Jesus was teaching at the temple and challenging religious leaders and their hypocrisy. Mary was there when he was arrested, tried, and crucified. The other disciples, they were running away and hiding, except John. But Mary was there listening to what Jesus spoke on the cross. And she heard him breathe the last. She was there when they took him down from the cross and they laid his body. She was there, overwhelmed by grief. Let's think about Mary. We know the loss and grief, pain and frustration. For her, it was not that somebody whom she loved died. Jesus represented something to her. Jesus represented God. Jesus represented the nature and character of God. He represented the goodness of life. And he represented the good thing ultimately conquer evil things. Yet, at the moment when the stone was rolled in front of the tomb, Mary was not just grieving the death of her friend. She was grieving the death of her life, her hope, her dream, and a picture of God she had. In fact, it might be the same emotions that some of you had in the middle of your darkest moment, the painful moment. There are some times when God seems to be conspicuous by the absence in our lives. God seems not exist. Evil and hate seems to have the final word. So here is the picture. Picture of a crying mom, Ukrainian mom, who held a dead child in her arms. Not only a child, but so many people got killed, and their families, their lives torn down, and they are grieving in fear. Their future is gone. Now there are 2 million Ukrainian refugees and over 10 million Syrian refugees still risking their lives to find a place that they may live one day, even one day, without fear. For them, the world seems to be so dark. Fear prevails around the world. And it seems that the world is so dark and God seems absent. Evil seems to win. You understand what Mary Magdalene was feeling on that day. She represents us in the story. She represents all of us at the moment where darkness seems to prevail over light, where hate seems to prevail over love, where evil seems to prevail over goodness in life. But here is the good news. we always remember this. Good Friday and Easter, they go together. On that cross, Jesus cried out, "Father, why have you forsaken me?" He knows what it is like to be forsaken, just like we do sometimes. Jesus knows the burden, pain, frustration, and hopelessness we experience at some point, and he cried out, "Father, why have you forsaken me?" But at the moment, he also cried out, "Father, forgive them. They do not know what they are doing." And he died. And at the moment, it seems that all the hope and dream that Mary had was gone. All the love and future had been buried with him. But God wasn't finished yet. Good Friday was never the end of the story. In your life, when you go through your own Good Friday is never the end of the story. There is always Easter to come. Amen?
Amen.
That is what Mary delivers in this beautiful story. There is always Easter to come. God never finishes yet. I want to see this because Mary represent us. Good and justice triumphed over evil. Love conquered hate. Hope conquered despair. The light conquered darkness when she saw the resurrected Jesus. That's the hope we have in Jesus. This is our defining story. And it says, in the end, darkness, hate, and evil will not be the final word. And this is what the Easter story tells us. In our very lives, when we look at Easter, we say, you know what? No matter how much hell or pain we go through on earth right now, it is never going to be the last word. It will always ultimately be defeated in maybe weeks, months, or even a year. But we know God has boldly proclaimed that evil will not have the final word because of the resurrection. And those who believe the story, we say, "I believe this story. This is my story and my faith in God." And it changes our lives upside down. It changes our primary orientation in life. And we redefine our lives in God. And because of that, we never lose our hope. We not only believe it, but trust in it. And count on it. We need to remember that. We need to remember what Jesus spoke to Mary. Go. Go and tell them. We are not only to believe it, but also to deliver this good news. We need to provide the hope of the resurrected Jesus to the people we see and share the love of Jesus Christ. Why? Because you and I, we are the Easter people. Amen.